Welcome to a special bonus episode of Hot Off the Wire. In this edition of our daily news program, we feature a selection of stories covering a variety of topics. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now, those stories from the Associated Press. Just one programming note. I'll be on vacation, so Hot Off the Wire will return on March 31st.
Hospitals are increasingly using AI assistants to handle scheduling and even patient questions about surgeries. But some nursing unions are pushing back. Michelle Mahan of National Nurses United says hospitals have been waiting for the moment when they have something that appears to have enough legitimacy to replace nurses. Mahan's group, the largest nursing union in the U.S., has helped organize more than 20 demonstrations at hospitals across the country, pushing for the right to have say in how AI can be used. The group raised new alarms in January when Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the incoming health secretary, suggested AI nurses, as good as any doctor, could help deliver care in rural areas. And Dr. Mehmet Oz, who's been nominated to oversee Medicare and Medicaid, says he believes AI can liberate doctors and nurses from all the paperwork. I'm Donna Water.
Democratic lawmakers have come up with a new strategy to attract more voters, this time teaming up with social media influencers. Content creators, podcasters, and celebrities are the latest lineup of people boosting the party's message on their platforms. Democratic leaders on Capitol Hill are determined to show they're responding to the Trump administration with 40 online progressive individuals on their team. These informal and casual posts range from selfie-style explainers in parked cars to podcast appearances and live streams. While this move has drawn mockery from liberal allies and the GOP in Congress, Democratic content has been topping trending charts online. I'm Marcela Sanchez.
There were cheers and boos at a town hall meeting in Utah. There was applause in Salt Lake City after Republican Congresswoman Celeste Molloy was asked if the country is moving toward authoritarianism.
I am right, sir, that if we don't get the executive branch under control, we drift towards authoritarianism.
But those cheers switched to boos when Molloy said her worries aren't specific to President Trump.
When Biden was the president, I had the same concern.
The audience in liberal Salt Lake City repeatedly urged Molloy to denounce the president's sweeping federal budget cuts and the influence of Elon Musk. Molloy also stated tough spending decisions are necessary, saying we are not going to get out of the situation we're in financially without all of us feeling some pain. I'm Ed Donahue.
A group funded by billionaire Elon Musk is offering Wisconsin voters $100 to sign a petition in opposition to activist judges. Musk's political action committee, America PAC, announced the petition in a post on X on Thursday night. The campaign for Susan Crawford, the Democratic-backed candidate for the court, says that Musk is trying to buy votes ahead of the April 1st election. The offer was made 2 days after early voting started in the hotly contested race between Crawford and Brad Schimmel, the preferred candidate of Musk and Republicans. The winner of the election will determine whether the court remains under liberal control or flips to a conservative majority. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
The sirens of Tesla vehicles sounded in Las Vegas as video from TMX and the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department showed at least one person setting fire to cars in a Tesla Collision Center parking lot. Resist was spray painted on the building's front door. Attacks on Tesla vehicles, the electric car company owned by Elon Musk, have been happening across the U.S. and overseas since President Donald Trump took office and put Musk in charge of a new Department of Government Efficiency. Trump says Tesla vandalism amounts to domestic terror, and Attorney General Pam Bondi says she'll open an investigation to see who's funding the Tesla vandalism. In the meantime, the FBI is sending a warning, as Special Agent Spencer Evans did in Las Vegas.
It's a federal crime. We will come after you, we will find you, and prosecute you to the fullest extent of the law.
Tape courtesy of KTNV.
The Small Business Administration says it's cutting a little more than 4% of its workforce. That's about 2,700 jobs as part of a reorganization. The SBA played a crucial role during the pandemic, helping administer small business and disaster recovery loans. New SBA head Kelly Loeffler says a goal now is to return to pre-pandemic staffing levels and cut some programs that were started during the Biden administration. The layoffs
layoffs are part of a larger campaign by the Trump administration to shrink the federal workforce. President Donald Trump says the SBA will now be handling student loans that had been handled by the Department of Education, which Trump once dismantled. I'm Donna Warder.
Commercial fishermen and seafood processors and distributors looking to convert to new lower carbon emission systems say they're finding federal funding they were counting on frozen or unavailable in the wake of DOGE cuts by Elon Musk and President Trump. Taug Braun owns Downeast Dayboat.
This is not a business-friendly environment. You know, if they want to make America great again, then honor your word.
The scallop distributor in Maine says she's out about $30,000.
This was a grant program specifically designed to create economic opportunities.
Salmon fishermen in Washington and halibut fishermen in Alaska also told the Associated Press their federal commitments under the Dayboat Blue grants have been rescinded or are under review. I'm Julie Walker.
An experimental treatment appears to delay Alzheimer's symptoms in some people genetically destined to get the disease. Jake Heinrich in New York is 50 years old.
My father was 50 or 51 when he passed away with Alzheimer's. My brother was 49.
New research shows Heinrich has been treated for more than a decade and remains symptom-free. He's been taking two drugs that modestly slow worsening of early-stage Alzheimer's by clearing the brain of one of its hallmarks. There are fears future funding could be blocked by Trump administration delays. What would that mean for Heinrich?
I will lapse into symptoms, Alzheimer's symptoms, and we'll be back to where we were 10 years ago and 20 years ago when I lost my brother and I lost my father.
For Heinrich's wife,
this trial has given us life.
Rachel Chapkin says they need the National Institutes of Health not to be politicized. I'm Ed Donahue.
Bird flu has devastated poultry farms and sent the price of eggs soaring. But what about wild birds? Are bird feeders still safe for birds and people?
It's highly unlikely that you would catch bird flu from a wild bird.
Michael Parr is the president of the American Bird Conservancy.
In terms of bird feeders, the general recommendation is there's no need to stop feeding because songbirds contract the disease less easily and pass it on less easily.
Experts recommend cleaning bird feeders and nest boxes regularly and removing the wild bird feeders if you keep backyard chickens. If you have to handle a sick bird, use gloves and a mask. Ducks, geese, seagulls, owls, and eagles are among those that have been infected. Waterfowl that migrate together in large flocks are most likely to die in large numbers.
Waterfowl seem to easily pick up the disease and shed it.
The U.S. Agriculture Department says over 12,000 wild birds have tested positive, a huge underestimate since most birds that die of the disease are never recovered for testing. I'm Jennifer King.
Trying to prove the inventor of the March Madness pool is like picking a perfect bracket. Many say Jody's Club Forest on Staten Island was the first. Terrence Haggerty is the founder's son.
He was a creative guy and, you know, he would like to come up with some things to add business in a way. So that was his whole beginning of it. And the first year they did it, it was 1977. And there were 88 people to get in it. And it was at $10 a ticket.
The pool shut down in 2006 over legal concerns. By then, the jackpot hit $1.6 million. But others say a Kentucky postal worker was the first in 1978, his son Damon Stinson.
It was kind of a betting thing, but not really a betting thing. It was just kind of like a who knows college basketball better kind of thing.
He says his dad used a ruler and paper to sketch out brackets and required a nominal entry fee. Julie Walker, New York.
As college basketball fans fill out their brackets, a new poll finds a majority of U.S. adults do not approve of legalized betting on college sports in their state. About 6 in 10 think betting on professional sports should be legal, but only 4 in 10 say the same about college teams. A 2018 Supreme Court ruling allowed states to legalize sports betting, and it's now available in 38 states and the District of Columbia. Many leagues have embraced lucrative sponsorship deals with gambling companies like FanDuel, Caesars, and DraftKings, but the survey by the Associated Press, NORC Center for Public Affairs Research, finds that despite the barrage of advertising, Americans are no more open to sports betting than they were a few years ago.
I'm Jennifer King.
The comical, controversial French bulldog tops the American Kennel Club's annual list of the nation's most popular breeds for a third year, says the AKC's Brandy Munden.
It is a fun dog that really likes to cuddle and be with their owner. It doesn't require much exercise. And people find that it works well living in smaller spaces.
The list continues with Labrador Retrievers, Golden Retrievers, German Shepherds, Poodles, and coming in at 14, the Cane Corso, which was 47 a decade ago.
Larger breeds tend to not rank necessarily as high on the most popular list.
Munden says the list is not meant to be a shopping guide.
Just because a dog is cute and just because the dog is popular does not mean that it is the right dog for you.
Julie Walker, New York.
A quirky live stream that helps fish is an internet hit. In the Dutch city of Utrecht, they have installed a fish doorbell. There is a camera on a river lock. Viewers can alert authorities to fish being held up as they make their springtime migration to shallow spawning grounds. You can click on a button matching the fish you see. Project co-founder Mark Van Heuklem says this alert can help lead to opening the lock to let the fish swim through.
There is a huge willingness and potential in people just offering a little bit of help to create a little bit of a better environment, help nature out.
Much of the time, the screen is just a murky green with occasional bubbles. But ecologist Anna Nice says millions of people are watching.
We get a lot of fan mail of people. They get relaxed by watching and they find it so positive.
As the water warms up, more fish show up at the lock. I'm Ed Donahue.
Don't tell Snoopy he can't dress. Snoopy and his fellow Peanuts characters celebrate their 75th birthday this year, and Snoopy is modeling some of the best designers at Snoopy in Style, an exhibition in Paris. Melissa Minter is Senior Vice President of Global Brand and Communications for Peanuts Worldwide.
We have dolls from every single designer around the world. Chanel is here, Karl Lagerfeld is here, Dolce & Gabbana, Balmain.
Jeannie Schultz, widow of Peanuts creator Charles M. Schultz, says her husband knew fashion when it came to his comic strip.
He realized after a while that you need to know immediately who the character is and what that character represents. So that's when Charlie Brown got the stripe and Lucy got the painted dress. And Sally got a bow.
Snoopy in Style opens Saturday, and the 75th anniversary of the Peanuts comic strip is October 2nd. I'm Donna Warder.
Dallas rapper Yella Beezy has been arrested and charged with the murder of fellow rapper Mo3 in South Dallas on November 11th, 2020. The rapper, whose real name is Marquise Conway, faces a capital murder charge. The indictment accuses Conway of hiring Kewan White to kill Mo3, whose real name was Melvin Noble. The indictment does not provide information on why authorities believe Conway hired White to shoot Noble. I'm Marcela Sanchez.
The study finds Nordic nations in general rank among the top places for expected and actual return of lost wallets. Managing director Alexandra Peth suggests the secret of Finland's success could be trust.
People trust each other in Finland, and I think, like, on many levels in the society, we try to support each other.
While Helsinki resident Juni Puhonen tells the AP it helps to cultivate calmness.
We are really calm, so we have the time to think about things, like live our life really peacefully.
The top happiest countries include 14 Western industrial countries, 2 countries from Latin America, and 1 from the Middle East, while the US has fallen to its lowest ever position, and Afghanistan ranks as the unhappiest place to live. Country rankings are based on answers people give when asked to rate their own lives. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
On this week's AP Religion Roundup, prayers continue for the Pope's health, and some Muslims celebrate Ramadan by removing tattoos. A trumpeter performed a serenade of Ave Maria Friday below Pope Francis's windows at Rome's Gemelli Hospital. The impromptu performance took place before a statue of John Paul II, where the faithful have been leaving messages, candles, and flowers as they pray for the Pope to recover. AP's Julie Walker reports that the Pope is preparing for a visit from Britain's King Charles as the Vatican continues its outreach programs.
Pope Francis says in a letter his lengthy illness helped make more lucid to him the absurdity of war and renews his call for diplomacy. The Vatican says Francis has made slight improvements as he remains in the hospital recovering from a lung infection and double pneumonia. His top deputy shooting down resignation suggestions as plans move forward for a meeting with King Charles. Meanwhile, the Vatican is releasing a new children's video game. Allison Matthews with Microsoft.
3D rebuilding of St. Peter's Basilica. So you have a character in the game, and as the character, you can walk through the hallways and explore the entire building.
The Jubilee Year project is called Peter is Here. I'm Julie Walker.
A growing number of people in Indonesia's capital have signed up for free tattoo removals offered by an Islamic charity organization. The organization says their tattoo removal service during Ramadan gives practicing Muslims an opportunity to repent. Avalia Zadora says she's getting hers removed because they make her family uncomfortable. In addition to Muslim religious prohibitions in Indonesia, tattooing remains strongly associated with gangs and criminality in some Asian cultures. The tattoo removal program is now held every Ramadan, a month of fasting, increased worship, religious reflection, and good deeds. About 700 people have signed up for tattoo removal this year. Nearly 3,000 people have had tattoos removed in the program since 2019. I'm Walter Ratliff.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.